Okay, talking about birthdays, said on the radio, we listen to a lot of Christian radio on our travels, he said, usually by the age of 42, people have been able to save up for their dream car. I'm now 42, Volkswagen Polo, really old, hallelujah. I'm glad cars are not my goal. We're going to read a little bit of scripture. I've got a few different ones tonight, but the main theme of what we're looking at is the parable of the sower. But this has been this first passage has been a little bit on my heart. It says in the book of Timothy as well that the young men or young people should read the scripture. Would anybody like to volunteer to read the scripture before I pick anybody out? Martin's now 40. I don't know whether that's young or not. Too old now. All of a sudden he's too old. Anybody else? Tom and Toby in their crisp English voices. No volunteers there? Yeah, you want to go for it? I'll flick it on if you want, if this will work. Oh, no, you better flick it on because it's not working here. There we go. That's it.
I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have the itching ears. They will keep up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside for fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica. At my first offence, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully through me, and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. All right, Toby. Very good. I charge you. So this is the Apostle Paul, an apostle, a wise man of God, to a young pastor called Timothy. Timothy and Titus are books that they gave us to study when I was doing my Bible college course. And it's always good advice to young ministers, but good advice to us all. And he was charging Timothy to preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering. So an apostle to a young pastor is encouraging him to preach the word. Not his own thoughts and feelings, not his own stories, but preach the word. Be ready in and out of season. So be ready, be prepared. We can all take this. This isn't just for young pastors. We can all take this. Be ready to preach the word. Are you ready? You should be, because I've preached this type of thing many, many times before. And if you've been listening, you will have heard this sort of thing. To be ready. Convince. Rebuke. That's what he says to a young pastor. That's part of the ministry, is to rebuke in love. Exhort. Encourage with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come. And the reason I thought about this passage is because of what's been happening recently. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. So this is people who are believers. They believe in God, whether he's talking to Jews or talking to people who've become Christians, but are not enduring sound doctrine. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. So he's also calling young Timothy to do the work of an evangelist. I don't get the sense that Timothy is an evangelist. He seems like a shy, timid guy. He doesn't seem like the one to be outspoken upwardly or openly. But Paul's calling to do the work of an evangelist. To do the work of an evangelist. An evangelist was there to proclaim the gospel to people who haven't heard the gospel. Do the work of the evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. And then Paul goes on to say that he's being poured out like a drink offering. He's running his race. He's finished the course. And all the things that are happening to him. Even when everybody else had left him, he said, don't charge it against him. That's what he's saying to Timothy. But he also said that the Lord strengthened me, or the Lord strengthened him, so that the message might be preached through me, that all the Gentiles may hear. That was his purpose, that all the Gentiles would hear. If that's our purpose within our heart, how would you start? If that really is your desire, you'd think, well, how am I going to do it? Paul went across land and sea. He went to the biggest populations. He went to where the people were, and he preached in synagogues, out in the open. He spoke to people by rivers. The Lord used him in many ways. He preached the gospel, and was encouraging Timothy to do the same. But also, he did give Timothy that warning that people would not endure sound doctrine. And that's what we see within the church as a whole today. People are running to wherever they think is best, whatever's tickling their ears. This church has always tried and aimed to stick close to the word, or as close as possible as we can. We find here, and this is what Paul's saying to Timothy, preach the word, preach the word. When we go out and we evangelize, we preach the word, the gospel that was explained over and over and over again. That's what he was preaching. So this kind of leads us into the parable of the sower. And we're going to take two parts to it. That how when we hear a word, how we act to it. And then how when we go out and share, how we are going to do it. Is that okay with you? Okay, everybody excited? Yeah, just Sandra. Hallelujah. Thank God for Sandra. This should be exciting within our heart. It should stir us to at least take action with all diligence. So looking at the parable of the sower. Sower went out to sow his seed. As he sowed, some fell by the wayside and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on the rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up, and yielded a crop 100-fold. When he had said these things, he cried, "Let he who has ears, let him hear." Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and they do not have, and these have no root, who believe for a while, and in the time of temptation fall away. Now the one that fell among the thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and the pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on the ground are those who, having heard the word, with a noble and a good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. And Jesus goes on to say, no one, when he has lit a lamp, covers it or puts or with a vessel or puts it under a bed, but sets it on a lampstand, and those who enter may see the light. For nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known and come to light. Therefore, take heed how you hear. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken from him. So here we have the parable of the sower, and the first part is how we take the word of God. It very clearly says that the seed is the word of God. Again, not our own word, but the words of God from the scripture, the words of Jesus that are sown into our heart. And whether they bear fruit depends on the content of our heart. So really the emphasis on the parable of the sower is not on the seed, but on the soil and the content of our heart. The seed is the word of God. It was scattered liberally. I'm sure when a farmer goes out to seed, he aims to sow his seed on good soil. But some of it may go on the stony ground, some of it on the rocks, some of it among the thorns. That happens. And when we go out to preach, we aim to preach to good soil. When a preacher comes into the church, he aims to feed the word of God into good soil. And how we take the word of God is dependent on how we will be fruitful in our Christian life. Do we want to be fruitful in our Christian life first and foremost, or in this worldly life first and foremost? It should be. It all should be for all of us to be fruitful in our Christian life. Now, I may have done this sermon a long time ago and really have picked this first bit, I've pinched it off a guy called George Whitefield. Anybody know who he is? John Wesley and George Whitefield? It was George, wasn't it? Yeah, George Whitefield. So he preached this sermon on how to listen to a sermon and how to go and hear a preacher. So this is aimed at Christians merely. Come to hear them. I'll just get it on here as well. Come to hear them, not out of curiosity, but from a sincere desire to know and to do your duty. Is that how you came here tonight? Is that the thoughts that were going on in your heart? Come and hear the word of God, not out of curiosity, but from a sincere desire to know and to do your duty. Is that how you've come? Do you have a sincere desire in your heart to hear the word of God and to do your duty as a Christian? That's a question you can answer in your own heart. I pray that we all do. Give diligent heed to the things that are spoken from the word of God. If an earthly king were to issue a royal proclamation and the life or death of his subjects entirely depended on performing or not performing its conditions, how eager would they be to hear what those conditions were? And shall we not pay the same respect to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and lend an attentive ear to his ministers when they are declaring in his name how our pardon, peace, and happiness may be secured? If Her Royal Majesty came in here tonight, how would we treat her? All right, Madge, have a seat. Queenie. I think we know, whenever we do, we'd want to know whether, you know, girls curtsy or whatever you do. Do men bow? How low do you bow? How do you say it? We'd be really conscious. If we knew she was coming, we'd also want to listen to what she wants. If she wanted a cup of tea in the finest china, I'm sure we'd go out of our way to do it, wouldn't we? If she came to your house and she wanted something, to discuss something with, you would listen. When we come to church, we should be listening to the word of God. Every Sunday in this church, God has spoken something from within the sermon. Everyone. Even some of the preachers that I probably wouldn't have back again, there's been something where I thought, well, yeah, that was a good point. Some of the other points. Every sermon, we should be listening to what God is saying through it. Every sermon. We're listening to the words of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Do we take that half-heartedly, or do we take it with earnest desire to do his will? It's those with an innocent, responsive heart that do that. I like this next point. Do not entertain even the least prejudice against the minister. Hallelujah. Oh, I like that one. Should we emphasize this one a lot? All right, no, we won't. But we will go through it. This is important. The reason that Jesus himself could not do many mighty works nor preach to a great effect amongst those in his own country, Nazareth, for they were offended at him. Take heed and beware of entertaining any dislike against those whom the Holy Ghost has made overseers of you. No preacher that comes up the front is perfect, not a single one. But how do we act? What goes on in our heart? Even if something may be construed slightly out of line, or something that is said in a human manner, what goes on? Do we go home? Do we defame? I'm sure that's not the case. But we should be listening to what God is saying through the ministers of Jesus Christ. We should be listening. We should be taking heed of what goes on. I think we have the privilege here of having lots and lots of different preachers that come from slightly different angles. You know, there's four Gospels, so each one looks at Jesus from a different angle. And I know the Gospels are perfect. They're inspired by God. But every single preacher that comes from a slightly different angle. They see a different aspect of Jesus, and we can take something from that. I noticed this when we went to New Zealand. I may have shared this before, but the pastor preached every Sunday, every single sermon. In the 5.5 months that we were there, he had one other person preach. And because it was a different style, people didn't know how to take it. It was almost like they were so used to that pastor, and he was a good pastor. But I think us as a church, we have the ability to weigh up what he said. Hey, that was really, really good. Oh, I'm not sure about that point. And I think that's a good thing. I think we're more balanced because of that. And because we can say we're not prejudiced against anybody who speaks. And if there is a major issue, of course, as I've said many times before, go and talk to the preacher. It might edify him. It might edify him. Oh, have I skipped on too far? This one, also good. Be careful not to depend too much on the preacher or think more highly of him than you ought to think. Hallelujah. I don't think there's any case of that going on here, is there? we're safe. Preferring one teacher over another has often been of ill consequence to the church of God. It was the fault of the great apostle of the Gentiles condemned in the Corinthians. For whereas one said, I am of Paul, another of Apollos, are you not carnal, says he. For who is Paul and who is Apollos, but instruments in God's hands by whom you have believed? All the time. Because we have so many preachers here, some people say, oh, I really like that preacher. Another one says, I really like that preacher. And that's really good because something has been spoken through that preacher. And everybody seems to like a different style or one. And Paul's saying to the Corinthians, but by raising one up above the other, he's saying you're carnal. These are carnal thoughts. Of course, we have to watch out for the wolves in sheep's clothing, those who are way off. But I think we don't hold any preacher too high. move on to the next one. This, in the parable of the sower, this is the main thing. Make particular application to your own hearts of everything that is delivered. When the Savior was discoursing at the Last Supper with his beloved disciples and foretold that one of them should betray him, each one of them immediately applied it to his own heart and said, "Lord, is it I?" Oh, that persons in like manner, when preachers are dissuading from any sin or persuading to any duty, instead of crying, "This was intended for such and such a one," instead would turn their thoughts inwardly and say, "Lord, is it I?" How far more beneficial should we find discourses to be than they generally are. So when something is said, say for evangelism or showing compassion, we should apply it to our own hearts. Do I need to become more like Christ in this? Do I need to obey more than this? Is God speaking to me there about that sin? Do we apply it? Am I right with God? Am I perfect before God? Is my conduct right? Apply it to ourselves. We can sit, arms folded. I hope so-and-so was listening to that sermon. Eh? See that, Rupert? So I hope he's hearing that one. See young Tom? Hope he was hearing that sermon. We can do that in our heart, but we should apply it to ourselves. Pray to the Lord before, during, and after every sermon. Who's prayed before they come? Who prays more when I'm preaching? Do I need it? Do we pray before we come to prepare our heart? What are we listening to on the way on godly music? Are we worshiping before we come? Do we come in a right? Sometimes when, for whatever reason, whether you're busy when you come to church and you've had that flustered time, it takes you a lot longer to seem to get that connection with God, to come to that place where you have that open and right seed. Come prepared. Come on time. Hallelujah. Just kidding. Kind of. Come expectant. Pray before, during, and after every sermon to endure the minister with the power to speak and to grant you a will, an ability to put into practice what he shall show you from the book of God to be your duty. No doubt it was this consideration that made St. Paul so earnestly entreat his beloved Ephesians to intercede with God for him, praying always with all manner of prayer and supplication in spirit, for me also that I may open my mouth with boldness to make known the mysteries of the gospel. And if so great an apostle as St. Paul needed the prayers of the people, much more do those ministers who have only ordinary gifts of the Holy Spirit. If only all who hear me this day would seriously apply their hearts to practice what has now been told them, how ministers would see Satan like lightning fall from heaven, and people find the word preached sharper than a two-edged sword and mighty through God to the pulling down of the devil's strongholds. Somebody said once, if you want a better pastor, pray for the one you've got. Hallelujah. We all need a better pastor, don't we? Whatever church. But come prepared. Pray for your pastor. When people pray for me, it both embarrasses me and blesses my socks off at the same time. Does that make sense? Sue quite often does it. I'm like, oh. But it's really nice at the same time. So I'm thankful. Keep doing it for every preacher. We're glad to have two young preachers come last week. I heard they both did well. Hope we prayed for them before they came as well. Everything about hearing the word of God is about listening carefully. Even in the book of Revelation, it says, "He who is an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." What is the Holy Spirit saying to us now through the word of God? What is he saying to your heart? What does he want you to do? In the parable of the sower, it says, take heed to what you hear. We have two ears and one mouth. We should listen twice as much as we speak. We should take careful care and attention. Second part of what I'm going to share tonight is how we go out and share the word of God with others. We've been given the greatest gift on the planet, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the word of God, and we have got to share it. Last time when I spoke about evangelism, maybe about a month ago, it really, really encouraged me that a couple of people took what I said and did it. Even Simon did it that very night. It encouraged him. Those little videos, he thought, well, I'm going to go and share with somebody. He didn't boast it from the rooftops, he told me. And I don't mind sharing that. He went and shared the gospel with somebody because he was encouraged to do so. That seed fell on good soil. I also met this lady. We've been on holidays all week down in Cheddar Gorge. We had some nice walks. There was a little Anglican church just a few houses away from where we stayed. So I thought I'd go down and just have a mosey around because it was like a nice picturesque church. I got in there exactly the same time as the church warden. It's only a little church. She only goes there once a week. Her name was Linda. And she was telling me her struggles within the Anglican church, how she find it quite difficult with all the religion that was around. And she told me, we'd been to this other church in Western Supermare on that Sunday. She said, I go to that church now. I go there in the morning and then I come here whenever they have the services here. She was over 70 years old and she was dead. You could tell she was born again recently. She'd been going to this other church. She'd been born again. She said, 2 weeks ago, she's over 70. 2 weeks ago, she said, I was baptized in that church. She was full of life. I also met this other guy down in, Chipping the other day. He was 80-something. He said, I was baptized a couple of months ago as well. But this lady, Linda, she asked us to pray for her, by the way, because she's going to this one church where she's encouraged. And she goes back to the Anglican church and tries to encourage them. And she said, well, I can get a few people from this other church and they can come and pray with us. We can maybe do this, that, and the other. And like, what do we need them for? And she's discouraged. So I think it was a God incident that I went at that one time of the week when she was there. And we just shared some stories together and it seemed to encourage her. And I was encouraged by meeting her right in that place. And I said, we as a church would pray for Linda. I don't know her surname, probably never meet her again, but maybe you can pray afterwards. Somebody had sown a seed in her. Later in her life, it's beginning to blossom and grow, even though in her local church it's difficult for her. What I want us to do, the seed that I'm planting in your heart tonight is our responsibility to share the word of God. To sow liberally the word of God wherever we go. Paul said to Timothy, preach in and out of season, when it seems right and when it doesn't. Or I should rephrase that, when it seems difficult and when it doesn't. We have a job. What I want us to do is to step out of the boat, take a leap of faith, and share the gospel wherever you go. But as a church, as a body, at the bank holiday weekend at the end of August, I want to preach the gospel, but I want a crowd there because people feel more comfortable in listening when there's a crowd of people. And you lot, don't look, you look all right. You're not going to scare anybody off, I don't think. Well, maybe not everybody, but no, I'm just kidding. But this is my heart, is to go out into the street to share the word of God. There's some things that I put together back here. And I think not knowing different people and where they're at, this might be some stages of what you're prepared to do. I hope all of you come. And everybody that usually comes to on a Sunday night and some people that come on a Sunday morning come just to support what we are going to do together. And some of these may be as far as this, your step of faith is just to come and to be there. I'm not forcing anybody to do anything. You don't have to share the gospel. You don't have to give out a tract. But even just being there will be an encouragement for me. And that's what I would like us all to do. This is the way I'm leading the church forward. This is the seed I'm planting within your heart, that we all go together as a body, as a church, on the street, on Bank Holiday Monday, when there's more people than normal out on a Sunday night. And I hope it's weather like this. Some of us, so the way I picture it is that for a time, there will be some singing of worship. It's basically having church out open, not hiding our light under a bushel, having church out there, although we might do it slightly differently because we're in the street. So we may have a time of worship. We may have a time where I will speak in short spaces, and depending on who's listening and who's there, we'll go with the flow. There may be times where we'll speak to people that are passing. And for those who are confident, the best thing is to do it in twos. I think when you go to threes and fours, unless you're speaking to a big group, it can intimidate them. But anyway, the second step may be that somebody who is confident and go and share in the gospel, that you stand with them, just as backup and support, just to pray for them. That we may feel confident to go and give somebody a tract. Or I think Simple Faith are coming the next week. We could invite them to them. That might be the next step of faith to you, that you can go and give somebody something. And the thing is, they may go, no. But they may go, yeah, I'll have a look at that. And we know a lot of them may not be taken seriously, but maybe that one tract might do what God intended it to do. Roy Bottomley was sharing with me about a month ago when I was telling him about this. He said that his church went out, this was years ago, and they were just giving out tracts. And this guy called Gary Iron, he took a tract and he took it home and he read the gospel and he gave his life to Christ and he came to the church. And now, if anybody knows him, he's in Africa, in Uganda, preaching the word of God. And it started off with one tract. He's led many people to the Lord. He does a good work over there. Does anybody else know him? You grew up with him. He came to faith by somebody just giving out a tract. Simple. I've heard loads more stories about that. They do it a lot more in Northern Ireland. And because they do it a lot more people get saved through it. You scatter more seed, are you more likely to get more fruit? Makes sense, doesn't it? Billy doesn't scatter any seed on his plowed field, he doesn't get any crop. You just get weeds. More seed we scatter, the more likely it is. So that might be your step of faith, to say, well, I've never done that before. In the middle of the street with a bunch of weird Christians, I'm going to give out a tract. That might be you. It might be your step of faith to speak to somebody when they're asked. They might see you in the group and say, are you one of these Christians? They might say, are you one of these Bible bashers? Or Bible huggers, as I've been called before. And worse. Would you be willing to share when somebody asks you a question? Or if you're in a two with somebody, if somebody asks you a specific question, then you take a step of faith. And the next step might be approaching somebody to talk. Give them a tract, say, can I talk to you about the Savior? Step six might be to share the gospel. Now, pretty much all our house groups have done the Way of the Master series, haven't they? Who here hasn't done that? Hasn't looked through the Ray Comfort stuff? Just one? I think most of us have done it. So that gives a pattern of how to share the gospel. Using the Ten Commandments, sure, many of us have shown it. So the thing is, if you know how to do that, you can share the gospel. It gives you a really good way to share the gospel with somebody, especially if somebody thinks they're a good person. You take them to the law, or you can wear a t-shirt like this, or my other t-shirt, a thumb in the arm. And it starts with, God loves you, but we have sinned. Christ died for that sin. You share the gospel and you challenge somebody. It's fairly simple. You can, without Without practice, you're not going to get really good at it, or you might have a natural gift from God, or a supernatural gift from God, but the more you do it, the easier it becomes. The other thing you can do is offer to pray with somebody. If somebody's in need, they're down, they're depressed, you can sit with them, pray with them. The seats by the bandstand, we can do that. Or you might feel confident enough to give your testimony in front of all of the rest of us. Now that's quite a large leap of faith to do that. When I'm going to preach in front of there, I will have nerves. But I know that's what God has called me to do. So I'm going to take these steps of faith. And the seed I'm planting with you is to follow, to do what God called us to do, whether it be any one of those things. Some things So do's and don'ts that I think may be beneficial. First one, prepare yourself. If you haven't watched those videos, I think they're really helpful. Go through it. By the end of an 8-part series, you will know how to share the gospel. If you watch them before, refresh yourself, prepare yourself. Prepare yourself in prayer. Prepare yourself for possible rejection, knowing that you're doing it in spite of what people may think. Prepare, pray before, during, and after. Be good to pray in whatever house groups we're in. Be good to pray for this over that weekend. And also over that weekend, we'll be finishing our football school. Pray for the parents that usually come to the presentation, that they will be here as well, because the gospel will be shared there. So pray before, during, and after. Share the gospel. Make it plain and simple. You know, God sent Jesus down. He spoke the local language, which is Aramaic, and he conversed in that way. We can converse with people. We try and make the gospel as simple as possible and explain it, and things like that help with that. Be wise as a serpent and gentle as a dove. Be wise as a serpent, gentle as a dove. We're going out in gentleness. We're preaching a bold gospel, but we're doing it in a gentle manner. Show genuine concern for people, which we should have. Be nice. Smile. Anybody got a smile? Some nice ones in here. Hey. Smile. Be happy. Enjoy it. You can enjoy this. When I've gone out in the street before you go, you kind of like, it's difficult. But when you get into it, it's liberating. When you realize that fear that you had isn't really a real fear at all, that not everybody is going to reject. There's only a very few that get slightly aggro. We don't have to speak to them. That's fine. But it's liberating to go. It's freeing to see that fear is a liar. Do share, attract, as I said before. Gary, I and others have come to the Lord by reading the gospel on a bit of paper. Share a verse that is on your heart. Go prepared. There's a verse there. Share it with somebody. The word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. Is that what the word of God says? Is that what your Bible says? It can cut right to the heart of where somebody's at. And if God's placed something on, share them with it. Even get your Bible out, either on your phone or with it, and say, look, this, I believe God's got this for you. And the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. Do's. Approach groups. We found that when we've gone out before, groups of people are often more confident because they've got all their friends around. But what we found in the past, that hen and stag do parties are even more confident. And they will listen. Because they got all their mates around, they will make fun of you, but you can sow seeds right into their life because they're more confident. And they feel because they got their friends around. So that's some do's. Some don'ts. Do not fear. Apparently, there's 365 times in the Bible it says, do not fear. Are we going to take that seriously? Is that a seed that's going to go in your heart? Do not fear. Don't get into foolish or stupid arguments. Ray Comfort, who's been doing it 6 days a week for about 30 years, has been through every argument there is, and that's why he uses the law to cut straight to the conscience. If we're finding people argumentative, bring them to the Ten Commandments and just go down that route. That's going to cut through all the other stuff that they're thinking. And we're not going to stand there and argue with people about all the contentious issues. We'll aim to avoid stupid or foolish arguments. We're not going to talk in a loud voice. We're not going to shout at people. We're going to talk gently and in an appropriate way with love and kindness. We're not going to pray out loud in tongues. We can do that under our breath, because on the day of Pentecost, when they spoke in tongues, the reason for that particular time is so that all the different nations would hear the gospel in their own language. We know the local language. If you can speak Cumbrian, you're as good as anybody. Let's bring Billy. He speaks Cumbrian as good as anybody. Any farmers will send to Billy. But, you know, we don't need, in this instance, because there's a whole lot of explaining to do with that when we're out on the street. In church, in our house groups, when we're communicating with God, that is something that can be liberating and opening. But on this occasion, we're not going to pray out loud in tongues. We're not going to intimidate by large groups. So we're not going to chase after people, about four of us, because you'll feel people doing this, wanting to get away. It's best in twos, or if you're speaking to larger groups, then you can add a few more. Or if you see one person speaking to a large group, go and support them. But generally, if there's one person on their own, two is enough. We're not going to talk one-on-one with the opposite sex for a long period of time. If somebody does start speaking to another person of the opposite sex, if they're approaching, they start to talk, then that should be, everybody else should be aware, come and stand along, a person of the same sex, come and stand alongside, or even two people of the same sex. At least you've got some accountability right there. Where did that go? Don't forget to follow up, pray, visit, or give a Bible. If you know the person, which you probably will do in the street, you may know them, you can go and pop a Bible along to them, or give them something to read, or if you know them well, pick them up, bring them to church. And we're not going to take rejection personally or be discouraged. So if it rarely happens when we're out in the street, there's maybe one in 100 or maybe even 200 people that get slightly aggro. And it's not really, if you have some wisdom, it's not difficult just to back off. Some people get a little bit argumentative. And if they do say something to you, we're not going to take that personally. In fact, we're going to take what the Bible says, blessed are you when people persecute you and say all sorts of things against you for my name. We're going to take it as a blessing. But we're going to come out. But the main thing, the main do through all of this is to preach the gospel, to lift up the name of Jesus, to speak about what he did on the cross, and to share the gospel with our nation in this area, in this town, where we know people. Don't fear. Don't do any of those things. But the main thing is to preach the gospel. That's the seed I want to put in your heart tonight. If you've been listening to the sermon, you will go home and consider this carefully and to see how you can put it into action. If anybody else does want to go out in the street with me before that, have a practice run, I gladly, really gladly, go out. Well, I feel that the young men, if anybody wants to go out, we'll go out, talk to people, share the gospel. Me and them, I would be delighted if that was to happen. Have you got something out of tonight? Yeah. Hallelujah. Most people nodding. Have I gone on way too long?
Will we need help at camera show?
Oh, yes, that's one. Yeah. John Herron has been asking me for a long time for helpers to go out in Keswick. But basically, this Saturday at Skelton Show, none of his team are able to go. So he's left me the keys for the van, which is at Billy's. And they have a spot at Skelton Show where we can go and share the gospel there. They've got all the tracks, the bits and pieces. And if anybody else wants to go with me, or I'm sure Mum will be going, I don't know who else, but if you want to go to Skelton Show on Saturday, the weather's supposed to be good still. We might even get an ice cream together as well, just to keep us going. But the main thing is, to share, if anybody wants to do that on Saturday, be most welcome. Also, I'll be bringing a young lad called Musa. So he's coming over for 3 weeks. He's coming tomorrow. I'm picking him up from the airport, and he's going to be here for 3 weeks. He's from Bethlehem. He's a Palestinian Christian. He's been in Bethlehem Bible College for 5 years. I don't think he's ever been there full time because he lives in Bethlehem. It's maybe a day or a week or something. So he's coming for 3 weeks. He's a funny little character. You'll find him fun. But he'll be there, and hopefully he'll bring him there as well. But you can pray for us. We're going around a few schools in the next few weeks with him as well. So you can pray for me, for boldness for me as well, when I go into the schools with all wisdom. So should we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, your seed. I pray, Lord, that any seed that's been sown tonight, Lord, will grow and produce a harvest and a crop. I pray, Lord, that each one of us, Lord, you put it in our hearts as well to go out and sow seed liberally wherever we go. I pray that your kingdom come in people's lives. I pray that you prepare the right people to be there at the right time. When we share, when we have this football school in August, when we have Simple Faith come, when we share in the street, when we go out that night, Lord, I just pray that the right people will come. Lord, your will be done in their life. I pray you strengthen each one and encourage us and enable us to take a step of faith, to go further than we've gone before. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.